and welcome to INWIT 9 months of 2019 financial results conference call. Ms. Emanuela Martinelli, Head of Finance and Investor Relations, will introduce the event. Ms. Martinelli, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. We apologize for the short delay and we welcome you to the 9 months 19 results presentation. As usual, our CEO, Mr. Giovanni Ferigo, and our CFO, Mr. Andrea Balzarini, will provide you with an update on our 9 months 19 operating and financial performance and will be available to answer to your questions. As always, the presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. Now, you can take note of our disclaimer policy that you should now see on slide number 2. Let me highlight that the reported data refers to the financial statement at September 30, 2019. Let me guide you through the presentation, starting with the slide number 3. As you can see in this quick overview, the 9 months 19 report, the tenancy ratio increased up to 1.92 times. Likewise, reported revenues grew by 2.9% compared to the 9 months 2018. The recurring EBITDA on a comparable basis, that is pre-IFRS 16 accounting principle, shows a 4.4% growth year on year. The reported EBITDA is strongly impacted by IFRS 16 and it is growing by 57.5%. Finally, recurring free cash flow reached 136 million euros in the first 9 months, with 8.2% compared to the same period of the previous year, confirming a solid growth trend of cash generation. Now, I leave the floor to Mr. Giovanni Ferigo, who will guide you through the main highlights of our 9 month 19 results. As usual, a Q&A session will follow the result presentation. You can book it by pressing star 1. Let me remind you that in order to let everyone take part in the Q&A session, only one question for each person is allowed. Giovanni, over to you.
Thank you, Emanuela. Good afternoon, everybody. Before commenting the quarterly results, I would like to give you an update on our integration project with Vodafone Towers. As you probably know, we have been collaborating since July with the European Antitrust Authority, providing clarification and additional information which was requested from time to time. We are engaged in a very constructive process, which, however, is still ongoing. For this reason, we decided, together with TIM and Vodafone, to postpone by 1 month the previously agreed term in order to have enough time to receive the authorities' feedback. On the basis of such feedback, we will assess the most appropriate path, also with reference to regulatory matters, for completing the merger. What I can tell you is that I see no reason today to reconsider our expectation achieving the closing in the first half of 2020, as we stated back in July. While we are working on such things, we also began to focus on the design of the integrated company we intend to put in place. From both an industrial process-focused point of view and from an organizational point of view, I can't wait to actually get it going, and the good thing here is that each day that passes is one day less in the countdown to the closing. Now to the 9 months results. Let's begin, as usual, from the revenues analysis on slide number 5. As you can see in the slide, our 9 months 19 total recurring revenues account for euro 287.3 million, and we can split it in three main clusters. Revenues from the master service agreement with TIM related to the sites inherited through the IPO 1% up from 9 months 18 due to the inflation increase as laid down in the contract. Second, revenues from other operators and others totaled 73.1 million in this year, up 3.3% from last year on comparable terms. They derived mainly from all tenants, our MNO and fixed wireless access customers. These figures don't include non recurrent fees, which amounted to 3.9 million in 2018 and 4.8 million this year. The growth we have been able to deliver here, which has been driven mainly by an increase in fixed wireless access operator, is more than satisfactory to me if put in the right context. In July, we have signed binding agreements with two of our main customers involved, which after closing will enable us to start a new era of growth, but until then are objectively posing some limits to the operational leeway, as customary for M&A transaction of this sort. Furthermore, Wind Tre keeps on optimizing its network with limited impacts on the latest as well as the next one or two quarters for us are largely anticipated. This has been and will be offset by the growth of Iliad POPs, even if a difference in timing can produce non-flat net results in a single quarter. Third, revenues from new sites and new services amounted to 16.4 million, showing a 21.4% growth year over year. We are talking about a very solid growth in the context I was describing before. Summarizing, total revenues grew by 7.3 million from last year, that is 2.6% increase net of one-off revenues. Going to slide 6, you can find an overview of the structure of our operating expenses. Here, the effect of the adoption of the new IFRS 16 accounting standard is extremely clear. The trend can be better explained by breaking down the total amount in three components. The most important one is ground lease costs. 8 million only include the contracts which terminate in 12 months' time. But considering the ground lease cost on a comparable basis, removing the IFRS 16 impact, the trend is positive, with a 2.1% reduction year over year. This has been achieved through renegotiation and land acquisition, with a constant visible improvement despite the many renegotiations already completed. Other operating expenses are growing in parallel with the growth of the new business, which, with time, acquire greater relevance. The third component is personal cost. The component has increased as a result of personal expansion, reaching almost 20% year over year. Finally, the total for OPEX amount to 34 million, remaining basically flat year over year, plus 0.3% on a comparable basis pre-IFRS 16. Moving to slide 7. Let me illustrate the main industrial KPIs that explain our performance. First, we can focus on revenues on the left. The average revenues for site confirm a growing trend, reaching a 2% growth year over year, up 16% in 3 years. The point of presence, other than TIM, grew mainly thanks to the increase in the fixed wireless access component, the Pope have reached 10,550, and we estimate a stable growth, driven by the new related services and the growth of the new players such as Linkem, Fastweb, Eolo, and other wireless local loop operators, Open Fiber, public administration, IoT operators. Finally, the tenancy ratio has reached 1.92 times, plus 0.02 versus June, taking into account only the macro sites. On the right, there is a detailed view of the cost saving, showing the result achieved on a renegotiation and land acquisition, and the impact on lease costs per site. We have reduced our average lease cost per site below 11.4 thousand pre-IFRS 16. Since 2015, we have renegotiated about 5,500 plots. Now, going to slide 8, I would like to recap our achievements in the new business deployment. We can claim growth in all the three business lines. We registered a 22% increase of new sites built in a year by deploying 100 sites over a one-year period, reaching 550 built sites by the end of the quarter. We also registered an increase of in excess of 50% in small cell and dust deployed, following network densification and indoor coverage needs. In 1 year, we have more than doubled the number of fiber backhauling links, which offer our customer extra value. It's worth mentioning one more time the main factor that pushed our radio access network densification in the near future. As you can see, them listed on the right-hand side of the slide. These trends are confirmed by the constant requests for new infrastructure by telco companies we serve. We reiterate that our volumes are accomplished exclusively through pre-commissioning, thus reducing our business risk. Now, I hand over to Andrea for the presentation of the financial aspect. Andrea, please.
Thank you, Giovanni, and good evening to you all. Let me start by reviewing our historical economic performance to date. As you can see, our EBITDA kept growing steadily, even without considering the IFRS 16 effect. We have moved up from 159 million euros in the 9 months of 2018 to 165 million euros today, which means 4.4% growth year on year, calculated on a comparable basis considering the EBITDA pre-IFRS 16 and excluding one-off items. Obviously, using the reported figure, we would have lower operating costs due to cancellation of rental costs and, as a result, a higher EBITDA value. Our EBITDA margin constantly increased from 57.2% 1 year ago to 57.4% pre-IFRS 16 at the end of September of this year. Moving over to CapEx for the first 9 months, we note that they are in line with last year's figure, 35 million. In terms of recurring free cash flow, we reached 136 million euros in the first 9 months of 2019, a growth of 8.2% year on year, pointing at efficient cash flow dynamics. On slide 11, you can see our 9 months reported net income totaling 98.9 million euros, impacted by the high value of D&A. The adoption of IFRS 16 is apparent in almost all items, OPEX, EBITDA, D&A, and interest, but on a comparable basis, the trend is linear. In the 9 months D&A stood at €97.8 million, while P&L taxes totaled €40.6 million, with an implicit tax rate of 29.1%, and interest charges, pursuant to IFRS 16 accounting principle, amounted to about €18.5 million. The higher EBITDA value led to an EBIT margin at a remarkable 55%. On slide 12, you can see our cash flow at the end of September. During the first 9 months, we achieved a recurring free cash flow of roughly €136 million, arising out from better EBITDA year on year in the comparable basis analysis. As for working capital, the trend was typically fluctuating. This time it was positive for roughly €19.2 million, €1.1 million per IFRS 16. In the first 9 months, the financial expenses are just below 1% of a gross debt of €170 million. Moving to cash flow to equity, we register a €100.1 million result, influenced by development capex. On slide 13, in the last slide, you may find an overview of our balance sheet at the end of September. The effects of the enforcement of IFRS 16 led to an increase in fixed assets for the registration of the right of usage for €678 million, since the present value of lease costs is treated as an asset, and a corresponding increase in the value of financial liabilities, which pushed up the debt by about €658 million. As a consequence, at the end of this quarter, our net financial position amounted to €731 million, which means €73 million pre-IFRS 16 application. This means a net debt-EBITDA ratio of 2.1 times on a reported basis, equivalent to 0.3 times net debt-EBITDA pre-IFRS 16, leaving our financial flexibility intact. Lastly, despite the generous dividend distribution in April 19, the fully distributable reserves stand at €801 million at quarter end, corresponding to approximately €1.3 per share. Emanuela, back to you.
Giovanni Andrea, thank you. We can now open the Q&A session, where our CEO Giovanni Ferigo and our CFO Andrea Balzarini will answer your questions. Please remember that one single question per person is allowed, so that everyone may speak. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session is now open. I'd like to remind you that if you want to register for your question, please press star followed by 1. To cancel the reservation, press star followed by 2. Thank you. First question comes from Mr. Yuri Zanieri from Kempen. Mr. Zanieri, please.
Thanks for taking my question. Actually, just on the deal timeline, if you provide a medium color. Can you confirm that the extraordinary shareholder meeting will take place before year end, while, of course, like the deal closing will be expected before H1? But any additional color would be much appreciated. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We expect to the board of directors meeting for the approval of the merger in a couple of weeks and the extraordinary shareholder meeting by the end of this year. Today we see no reason to revise our expectation of reaching the closing the first half 2020.
Next question comes from Mr. Simon Cole from Barclays.
Hi guys, can I just get a clarification on the timeline as well? I was just wondering, so is there anything to read into the delay that we've seen by a month? And then if the deal is still going to close by by the end of the year or early 2020, what's the expected timeline for the special dividend potentially being paid to shareholders? Thank you.
Hi Simon, this is Emanuela. As Giovanni just mentioned, yes, we confirm the meeting the end of this year, and this question has been already answered by Giovanni just a second ago. Thank you.
And on the special dividend timeline?
It's Andrea. Hi, Simon. The special dividend timeline is linked to the closing of a transaction because it is going to be paid to shareholders following closing and following merger. So obviously, at the moment, we can stick back to what Giovanni already told with no more precise indication, because at the moment we have no elements which would enable us to be more precise.
Okay, thanks.
Next question comes from Mr. James Ratzer from New Street Research. Mr. Ratzer, please.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Sorry, third question around the merger timeline. I think it is quite a critical issue. But I think the other people and myself are asking this question because presumably the inference is the EC has some kind of pushback around the transaction. That would be my inference on why the timeline is being delayed by 1 month. Can you let us know then what the EC is discussing with you about the deal? Can you help to give us more comfort on why the timeline has been delayed as such? Thank you.
Okay, it's Giovanni. We have not absolutely received any pushback from the authority. We are working with them to clarify any point that have to be clarified. Any other issue about this, okay?
And what points is it that they would like clarifying, please?
You know perfectly the dynamic on with the antitrust commission. So there is some details that, let me say, about the business, the joint company, and so on. But nothing more than some clarification that they want to know better.
I was just wondering, are they looking at concentration of certain towers in very localized geographies? I mean, we've helped to understand kind of what extra information they're trying to scrutinize here, please.
It's a normal process. There is a very important, operation with the two major companies in Italy of tower. There are some details that they want to know and go in deeply, acknowledge. Nothing more than some defined details and many other.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Stefano Gamberini from Equita SIM. Mr. Gamberini, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. Could you elaborate a little bit more about the special dividend? The level of debt to EBITDA at 6x, is this the maximum amount that you can pay out, or this could be the actual level of leverage that you expect after the deal? Or on the other side, is the amount of 801 million of distributable reserves the reference for these dividends, or after the merger this amount could be even higher? Thanks.
I'm afraid that by providing the answer I should be disappointing at least you, but I would like to clarify the framework for the special dividend. We are not paying 6x leverage as a special dividend. 6x is the maximum leverage we will reach out of executing the transaction, which, as we disclosed back in July, includes a cash payment for a minority stake of Vodafone in the region of 2,140,000,000 euros. So the 6x is, yes, the maximum leverage that, according to the agreements which were signed, we are going to reach executing the transaction. The special dividend is just one of the ingredients which is going to contribute to that maximum leverage. Finally, you should read no special link between the available reserves and the special dividend to be paid. Reserves that we've been accumulating since the company was created were accumulated out of the organic business and the results which were delivered in the first few years of life of the company. They represent no reference for the special dividend amount.
Thanks.
Next question comes from Mr. Henrik Herbst from Credit Suisse. Mr. Herbst, please.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much. I was just wondering if you could give us some detail on how much ability do you have to sort of prepare for closing of the merger. I guess you're seeing very little growth at the moment, as neither Vodafone or TI is giving you much new business. I mean, can we expect, once the deal closes, a bit of a sort of a that coming through quite rapidly, or as you sort of prepared, I guess. Also, when it comes to small cells, are you sort of out there already negotiating with landowners, etc.? How much can you basically prepare for the deal closing already? And how much access do you have to sort of talking to Vodafone and looking at their towers, etc.? Thanks very much.
Okay, let me say that the growth is not so little. In the, let me say, new business, we are pushing a lot. Clearly, the closing of the merger will help to us to boot, to a strong acceleration of our, let me say, revenues. But at the moment, I think that I'm very, very convinced that we are doing the right things in the right way. We are pushing the small cell and DAS development. The indoor coverage sure will be, let me say, an item of the future. And the backhauling too. And so we are preparing for the, let me say, radio's future that is waiting for us in the new company.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Danny Tupper from Goldman Sachs. Mr. Tupper, please.
Thank you. Do you think that operator perception of the number of service access points that we need to deliver 5G is increasing? Do you kind of also have any data points which give us an indication of the acceleration in the organic growth of tenancy ratios? Thanks.
Okay, you know perfectly that in Italy, the tender for the 5G auction has been very, very expensive. So the Vodafone team, not only Iliad, they win too. They have to capitalize this kind of investment. I think that with the 5G, we are starting and will help. We will manage the infrastructure for the 5G network, and this will help us to start in the acceleration that I said before. So the 5G is the key that will help us to start for new opportunities and new business.
May I go ahead with the next question, sir?
Yes, thank you.
Next comes from Mr. Ranjit Roshan from Deutsche Bank. Mr. Roshan, please.
Great. Thanks for the question. I guess we should have one on the operational dynamics this quarter. I think on the call you mentioned progress being made with Iliad. If I look at the revenues from Olo's, there isn't a material increase quarter on quarter. I think there were reports yesterday that Iliad had achieved 1,000 activated sites in Italy. Can you just explain how your discussions with Iliad are going? Because I guess that would fall outside of the ongoing discussions with Vodafone and the deal. Thanks.
Okay, we signed a contract in January of this year with Iliad. We start to define the possibilities to give them hospitality. We are doing a long in terms of time process. We are doing interesting increases with Iliad. I think that in the next quarter we will see something interesting with them. Let me say, from the moment, usually you spent 4-5 months to install a new host in our tower. So let me say, you have to keep in mind this time before to see the concrete results. There are interesting issues in fixed wireless access operator in Italy. Open Fiber, for example, is one of these. Fastweb that bought the frequency of Tiscali, that now is a new, let me say, player in the market, but always under the consideration that I did before, that we need time to host a new, let me say, tenant in our towers. And these are the principal moments. Okay, that's all.
Great. And if I could follow up, these interesting things that you refer to, have they increased in recent weeks? Because I get the sense that Iliad are quite keen to accelerate the rollout of the network. Have you sensed an increased urgency from them? Thanks.
Okay, you have to consider that we are very, let me say, we are happy to host Iliad, but it's Iliad that has the need to accelerate to build their own network. I think that they have a huge problem having the roaming only with Wind, and so we both in with Iliad, we are accelerating the process to host their antenna in our sites.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Fernando Cordero from Santander. Mr. Cordero, please.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Just as a follow-up on the current growth trends, I would like to understand at which extent you have already suffered the whole impact from the Wind network rationalization process, and if in that sense we should not expect any further negative impact from that in your organic growth.
Unfortunately, no. You know perfectly that Wind not only is rebuilding their network, but they are evaluating a new company of towers in Italy too, not only in Italy. And so, let me say, this is another, let me say, item that you have to consider. I think for another two quarters, we will have this, problem to manage, okay? Or item problem. It's not a problem because finally it's an issue to manage, okay, with them.
thanks for the answer and the transparency.
Grazie per la risposta e la trasparenza.
The last question comes from Mr. Luigi Minerva from HSBC. Mr. Minerva, please.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. It's just going back to the timeline and the process. Should we assume that it's now Brussels that will do the whole process, or is there still an opportunity for the review of the transaction to be transferred to the local antitrust in Rome?
Hi Luigi, Giovanni Diz, the antitrust authority evaluating the operation is the European one, and really in theory the Italian authority can claim la jurisdiction, okay? So we have to wait for the European, let me say, Commission evaluation.
May I ask when this initial phase of the European Commission evaluation is expected to end?
Okay, as you can read in our, let me say, press release, we moved in of 1 month because we are waiting the, let me say, the European Commission decision, okay. So 1 month okay. More, okay?
I understand. Thank you so much.
So thank you. This was the last question for this 9 month 19 results presentation. Thank you all for joining us and for your interest in our conference call. And as usual, feel free to contact us for any additional question. Thank you again and enjoy your evening. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling INWIT. Mm-hmm.